Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Every once in a while, we gotta f*** the religious people.
There are 720 churches in Charlotte. I'm sure we can find one where you can stuff your face.
Shut up. Quit pointing out the problem.
Men will be proud, arrogant, abusive. You watch some of today's rock star pastors, and you will see every characteristic Paul listed played out in vivid detail on the church stage.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Church news. And a lot of it. Some of it's even good. This is Wretched Radio. Jesus loves the church. Therefore, you and I love the church, which perhaps serves as a good reminder. If you've been a Marlboro Christian for too long, riding out on the range of, I can do the Christian life all by myself, please come back to the ranch, find yourself a Bible-teaching church, become a member. And as long as I'm bringing up things to do, have you been baptized yet? It seems we've lost our emphasis on baptism, that if you are a believer, you've been born again, it's time to get dunked. It's time to get immersed in the waters of baptism because you'll be obedient to the first command of our Lord. So if you haven't, get her done, which actually raises a question that I didn't raise or answer in last week's sermon at Alpharetta Bible Church. Well, you know, there's time constraints, and I was looking at the clock, and we all know there is a fine line between a long sermon and a hostage situation, and I felt that I was kind of leaning toward the latter, so cut out some stuff like the question, should you be taking the Lord's table if you have not been dunked yet? Discuss. Here's the tricky part. You've got church history that would say you got to be obedient and get baptized. Then you become a member of the church with all of its rights and privileges, and that includes the Lord's table. But the Bible doesn't say that. It does show us in Acts chapter 2, when people got saved, lots of them, first thing they did, they got dunked, then they got added to the church. So we don't have a particular Bible verse that explicitly says you must be baptized before you take the Lord's table. But my question is, based on at least something of a pattern that we see in the Bible, based on church history, why wouldn't you want to? What is keeping this from happening? Why are you stalling and delaying on getting baptized? If you have not been dunked, please get that done too. And speaking of dunkers, Southern Baptist Convention next week, Jimmy Jam. It's always a good week here at Wretched Radio and the Southern Baptists get together. Actually, whenever there's a church conference, it's like, oh boy, probably lots to talk about as we unfortunately continue to see the Protestant, mainline Protestant denominations just continuing to lean left to their own peril. They're just shriveling and dying. And it is interesting to me. Do you recall, I think we mentioned that this week, there was a New York Times video. I don't understand either, but it was a video. Tom Askell of Founders Ministries represented all Southern Baptists. And then there was a woman who apparently had been pastoring a Southern Baptist church for decades, and they were showing how wonderful she is. And well, they weren't unkind, I think, to Tom Askell. You know, they showed him, I think, as a loving grandfather, but they also showed him, you know, shooting guns and bows and arrows, you know, to fit the stereotype of we evangelical gun-toting Christians. Nevertheless, it was intended to emote people into siding with liberalism. And one of the lines that they used was, the Southern Baptist Convention in recent years has diminished in attendance or membership. And that's partially true. Part of the reason could simply be the cleaning of the roles. I don't think that that issue was addressed for a very long time in any denomination, including the SBC. You just let people stay, people who've been dead for a decade, still on the church logs. I think there was a great deal of cleaning up. Did a lot of people leave the SBC in recent years because of the issues of the role of women in the church? I don't think so. Personally, I think that they maybe have seen some attrition or slower growth. Now, they did add more baptisms, which is a positive statistic for the SBC. But this New York Times hit piece basically was like, they're losing members. They better get with the 21st century, because if they don't start allowing women to be elders, they're just going to shrivel up and die. The opposite is true. The churches that are maintaining fidelity to Scripture in every regard, they're the ones that are growing. It's the liberals that are shrinking. There are five big SBC resolutions. There's more, believe me. There's a lot more, but there's five biggies. One of them was, and I actually took the time to go read through them because I was most intrigued, not so much by the way that what the issues were, because they were pretty obvious. It was things like the morning after pill, abortion. There was men participating in women's sports. And then there was gambling. And I thought, wow, that's a subject that I thought we gave up on a long time ago, that we just stopped fighting that fight. But somebody at the SBC determined time to take it up again. And I have to admit, I was pleased that they actually sounded like Christian resolutions, that they sounded like this was something uniquely and distinctly Christian. Now, some of them, I think they could have been more robust, because I think that there should be no mistaking any sort of Christian proclamation that there's a sin out there that needs to be addressed. It should be very Christian sounding. Otherwise, we're probably no different than a political action committee. If we're not going to use Bible verses, if we're not going to identify things as sins. And so there was a fair amount of stuff inside of some of these resolutions that was about the practical, is that the right word? Practical effects of these sins. What is it doing to people? What is it doing to children? What is it doing to women? And I think all of that stuff has its place in a resolution. It sure seems to me that the biggest shout should be sin, that you're endorsing sin, government. Stop it. You're participating in depravity. Knock it off. Otherwise, your soul is in peril. That to me is a Christian resolution. So, but overall, that would just be an encouragement to the SBC. If you're going to talk on this stuff, make sure that nobody's confused. You are Christians, because nobody else can talk like Christians. And if any sort of proclamation, whether it's from the SBC or anybody else for that matter, if it could be spoken by a rabbi or an imam, probably falling a wee bit short. More church news. Calvin Robinson. Jimmy, this is a guy who's been a bit of an enigma, and I don't mean that negatively. It's just he's been kind of confusing.
Yeah, I think he has.
Because, well, he was in the, let's see if we can track this. He was in the Anglican Communion. No, he wanted to be in the Anglican Communion, and they wouldn't let him in because he spoke too conservatively on woke issues. So he left that, and then he became a part of like the Evangelical Catholic Church. Oxymoron in England. And then the next thing you know, he was like in Michigan or something.
Yeah.
And he was doing another thing with, I can't even keep track of it, the Reformed Episcopal Church. An Episcopal, of course, would be the American expression of the Anglican Communion. But apparently this would be a Reformed version of the Episcopal Church. I don't know if that really goes together well. Nevertheless, he issued a year-long Episcopal sanctuary and a temporary license to serve in word and the sacrament on May 5th. 9 days later, they revoked it. I don't know what's going on. I am concerned to have the Anglican Church of North America affiliated with a leader whose public comments and persona consistently fail to exhibit the love and grace of Jesus Christ. I've heard a little bit of this fellow speak. I think he always sounds gracious. I think it's the content of his speech. It's not the tone. It's not the attitude behind it. It's what the guy is saying. This is from the fellow who leads up the Anglican Church of North America, that he's not exhibiting the Christ-like virtues of peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, and love. Well, that's one way to shut somebody down. Oh, here it is. Got it right. Just in the nick of time. Pastor St. Paul's Anglican Church in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And he had his license revoked. It's just, where is this guy going to land? He was rejected from the Church of England, and now he's getting booted out of the American expression of a Reformed Anglican Church. I don't know where this fellow is going to end, but I do think that there's a moral to the story. If you speak truth, even if you do it in love, which we are commanded to do, when people don't like the contents, they're going to say that's unloving. Be ready. If you are going to stand for the truth, you will be labeled as a hater. This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know that moment when you're scrolling through your news feed on social media and everything just feels upside down? Yeah, that's the culture we're living in right now. But you know what gets me excited? At Fortis Institute, we're not just watching on the sidelines. We've assembled a team of incredible voices who are diving deep into God's Word every single day. I'm talking about Dr. John Crotz helping you integrate theology into real life, or Dr. Adam Tyson, who is speaking truth into young men's hearts, or Pastor Brad Bigney transforming marriages from surviving to thriving. But here's the thing, while we're standing strong, that's what Fortis means, by the way, we need gospel partners who'll stand with us. People who will look at the culture and say, you know what? The church needs more than just encouragement. It needs equipping. We're not starting something new at Fortis. We're strengthening something vital. And so if you're ready to join us in this mission, if you're ready to help us equip believers with truth that transforms, then head over to fortisinstitute.org right now to find out how to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Master's University in Southern California. Beautiful campus, all of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number six for preparing students for the real world. All that. Plus, the Master's University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Master's University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Truth. It's meant to travel far. It's meant to reach deep. It's meant to change lives. But for far too long, even the best biblical teaching has faced barriers, paywalls, price tags, limited access. And at Fortis Institute, well, we've been thinking differently recently. What if we could break through all of those barriers? That's why we're launching our Truth Unhindered initiative. We have extraordinary plans for the end of 2025, plans that will transform how pastors and families and seekers access life-changing teaching. But to make this vision a reality, we need you now more than ever. Right now, going on through June 30th, every dollar you give will be doubled up to $250,000. Double the impact, double the reach, double the transformation. Visit fortisinstitute.org/truth today, because when truth breaks through barriers, lives are never the same. fortisinstitute.org/truth.
Know your church fathers. John Chrysostom was the bishop of Syria and Constantinople in the 4th century. He was an eloquent preacher and earned the moniker Chrysostom, which means golden-mouthed. He denounced abuses of authority in church and government and fought for purity of life and doctrine.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
If you would like to contribute to the Thrown Under the Bus Fund, please contact Cornerstone Community Church in Simi Valley. This is Wretched Radio. Don't know if you listen to the podcast from Lecrae called Deep End, but wow, his guest Francis Chan, through his former parishioners, squarely under the bus. I don't know that I've ever seen anything quite like this. Don't know if you're familiar with Francis Chan. He was very, very popular in mainstream evangelicalism. His book, Crazy Love, was a bestseller. And he was pastoring a church in Simi Valley called Cornerstone Community Church. It was a mega church. I've been there. It was huge. And maybe, just maybe, this might be worth noting based on what Francis Chan is about to say. How many churches invite people to come and do an evangelism seminar? The answer is not many. Why? It doesn't draw a crowd. If you're a mega church looking to draw a crowd, you bring in like Christian wrestling or Christian strongmen or a Christian rodeo or motorcycle fest or whatever, not an evangelism conference. But Cornerstone Community Church did invite us to come and do an evangelism seminar. It was years ago, 2000-something, with Ray and Kirk and Easy. And as I recall, there were thousands of people. I actually started sounding like Francis there for a second. Thousands of people were there. And they listened to an evangelism presentation. With that as our backdrop, Francis Chan on the Lecrae program tried to explain why it is that he just up and left. It was a bizarre happening. This was a very big church, and he just quit. And he even said that he didn't have a call to go elsewhere. I remember this now. He didn't say, I'm going to this place because I was called, the transition, I worked through it with our elders, we've got a plan. Just one night, basically packed his bags, and he was done. Explaining it to Lecrae, he said, I remember one night telling my wife, I just looked at her and... Jimmy, I think my impression is starting to become a caricature. An impression can just go too far, and I think I am.
Okay.
I just looked at her, and a thought came to me. I go, honey, I feel like if the Apostle Paul or Jesus had a church in Simi Valley, mine would be bigger. You know, the meager accomplishments of Jesus and Paul. This is something. I would have a bigger church than Jesus because I know how to keep a crowd. They didn't. Well, actually, they did. But they didn't throw people under the bus. You start realizing, well, am I really being like Christ? And then I'm looking in the scriptures and I'm looking at what's commanded. Like, if God could have anything of a church, what is the main thing in scripture? Preaching of the word, people loving one another, doing the one another's, God being glorified, evangelism. That's pretty clear to me. He questioned then if the people in his church were loving one another as much as Christ loved us. Now, first of all, we can safely say, no, of course they weren't, because none of us loved the way that Christ loved us. But that's not really what he's saying here. He's not just implying, he's stating they weren't loving. Hold on. He continued. I'm like, that's not what I created. I got a bunch of people, thousands of people. We're playing church. Ooh. Oh, that hurts. Everyone in that church, the early church, had a supernatural gift for the body. And I'm thinking, okay, if I got 5,000 people with supernatural Holy Spirit, there's 5,000 with some sort of gift. And I don't know any of these gifts, and they're not being used in the church. Wow. Wow. It seems to me then, if that is the case, and I don't think it was at this church, if that's the case, then dude, You should have explained that. I have done a bad job shepherding. I have not led rightly. I have focused on the wrong things. I've simply worked on keeping a crowd, whatever it is. But to throw former church members underneath the bus, there's maybe a lesson here for all of us. This is unsavory. We can do this too. You know, at my old church, those people, that is not the way that we should be talking about fellow believers. And we certainly should not use them as our scapegoat for just up and leaving. Another podcast that raised some eyebrows, although it shouldn't have, N.T. Wright, the Anglican bishop. He has a podcast called Ask N.T. Wright Anything. And the two questions were, why should Christians defend life from the moment of conception? And why should Christians oppose abortion and stand up for the protection of unborn life? Okay, I can do that. I could answer that one because they're image bearers of God at conception. And to terminate their life is something we call murder. Thanks for your call. Next question. This is a no-brainer, but he got into a muddled mess and he ultimately just revealed that he's pro-choice. That's all you can say about this. N.T. Wright, besides his woeful doctrine of justification understanding, he's pro-life. And I would expect that because once you're bending to the left, you got to keep bending. He described efforts to allow abortion up to the moment of birth as repulsive and condemned the idea of sex-selective abortions at the moment of birth as a criminal act and murder. Question, what makes it a criminal act and murder close to birth and, say, 8 months earlier? And the answer is nothing, because it's the same person. It is the same child. And whether you snuff out its life early or later, fully developed, partially developed, everything that makes a human is there at conception. Nothing gets mysteriously added later. No kid has to come out of the womb and get some sort of IV to fill them with what's going to make them them. It's all there at conception. He summarized his position on abortion by saying, in principle, this is not something which we should welcome. Interesting. It is not something with which we should collude. All right, let's just trade one sin for another. Instead of abortion, how's about molestation of children? Hey, N.T. Wright, why should Christians be opposed to molestation of abortion? In principle, molestation is not something which we should welcome. It's not something with which we should collude. You would say, in principle, how's about that's a wicked act? How's about that's a criminal act? How's about that is an act of depravity? And we stand fully against it while stressing there may be certain exceptions. Of which severe deformity might be one. And certainly incest and rape would be others. And there's N.T. Wright's position.
So if a child conceived has a deformity, God made a mistake?
Yes.
So it's not really created in the image of God and it's okay.
Well, this always is, the question is always, what is it?
Yeah,
and besides, what is severe deformity? A crooked pinky toe. That's it. Well, that's not perfect. Can we snuff out the life then? They don't have an elbow? What is a severe deformity? It's a human being. Quote, in those cases, I would say the sooner the better. Okay. Don't listen to this. Because at a certain point, and I'm not medically qualified to say at what point I would draw a line. Well, let me help you because the Bible does. That you are conceived, you are knit together by God in the womb. Your life begins at conception. You don't need a medical opinion. Now, if you want to go search out a medical opinion without using rather subjective criteria like size, level of development, degree of dependency, all of those which can be easily dismantled. Okay, so size, it's very small. I don't know at which point of development. Okay, a newborn child isn't as developed as a toddler, which isn't as developed as a teen, which isn't as developed as an adult. Which one of those do we get to kill? As if somehow size really is what determines what is an image bearer of God. And then, irony of ironies, he falls for the dreaded, men shouldn't be talking on these issues. Then why are you talking about it, NT? If men who say that abortion is a sin can't say that because we're males, then you as a male can't say it's not a sin because you're a male. He condemned the Roman Catholic Church's firm position against abortion, describing it as unmarried men from the Catholic hierarchy telling women who are victims of rape and incest what they can and can't do. That is part of the same system of male bullying, which we should avoid like the plague. Well, there he stands firmly. Ironically, if there's any bullying going on here, it's when big people take the life of little people. This is Wretched Radio.